The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. Shavua Tov, how are you?
Shavua Tov. How are you sure that some of your friends are vegans? I don't know any vegans who would want to be friends with you.
It is true. I'm saying that, you know, I said it with such confidence and I'm thinking, actually, no, I don't think any of my friends are vegans.
Do you actually know somebody who's a vegan even, Howard?
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't think so. I just needed to get that out of the way.
No, I definitely don't think so. Wow. Anthony, before we start, we have to talk about Beatie Deutsch, because she did qualify yesterday for the Olympics down, and she did so in Cape Town at the Cape Town Marathon.
I think it was like with 20 seconds to spare or something like that. I saw her time. It was like, look, she had to better her personal best by 5 minutes, which is not so simple when you're already running like 2.5 hours for a marathon, right? Or just above 2.5 hours. So apparently it was all done and dusted yesterday. She appeared. I'm not quite sure what feedback you've had from the people who were down there who might have been following her. But it seems as if though she's on her way to Tokyo next year. So I suppose Beit Chabad better get ready for her.
Absolutely, because she no doubt
will be there. The thing I like most about her, out of everything, is just her pure modesty. She's just, you know, it's just so low key, just so modest. It is what it is. You know, this is a talent that she has, which is God given, which she very much appreciates. And there's kind of no drama. And I think that's something that I really respect about her.
If anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, Beatie Deutsch is an Israeli runner, marathon runner. She's the mother of 5 children. She's religious. She runs with her head covered. She runs in a skirt. And she only took up running later in life when one of her brothers beat her at a race on a beach and on a, just sort of just on a day out. Absolutely incredible. And she came in number 8 yesterday in the women's division of the Cape Town Marathon and has now qualified for the Olympics in Tokyo. I think this is just
one other little snippet, by the way, which was astonishing for me, is that the first time she ran the Jerusalem Marathon, I think she was 7 months pregnant.
Yes, I was following her yesterday to see how she was doing. And some of those photos came up and you saw her running the Jerusalem Marathon pregnant, heavily pregnant. I mean, 7 months.
Yeah. I mean, although, and then she went on to say, while she doesn't necessarily recommend that for all pregnant women, really. however, she did go on to say that she felt very, very good during that pregnancy. And obviously she had a few reference points. So, you know, she does talk about the fact that exercise during pregnancy is definitely a good thing. So, you know, we certainly are proud of her, and I hope that she's done Israel proud in representing Israel and herself. And of course, all Jewish people at the marathon yesterday. And we're looking forward to seeing more in Tokyo.
Absolutely. All right. What we are a little bit nervous about is tomorrow's election in Israel. Israel goes to the polls tomorrow. There's been some funny, dirty things emerging over the weekend. I'm not sure what is true, what is not true. I read a report saying this whole issue about the Israeli spying on Trump came from Gantz's campaign. What is going on?
Dirty tricks. I think that's really all we can say at this stage. I mean, all that's really left, if there haven't been enough dirty tricks up until now in this campaign, then they certainly are being wheeled out in the last couple of days of the election campaign. Prime Minister Netanyahu already talking about the fact that the election has been stolen. And this is even before we've gone to the polls. He's still on about a lot of the fraud that goes on within the Arab sector. He claimed that this cost the Likud between 2 to 3 seats in the previous round of this year's elections. The Central Elections Committee didn't necessarily agree with that. Apparently, out of 82 incidents of forgery that were published a few months ago in the last round, only 2 of them were actually taken to the police. The head of the Central Election Committee, Judge Hanan Meltzer, actually turned down a request from Prime Minister Netanyahu to hold what he called an emergency meeting on the issue of the alleged forgeries. So this is something that's certainly not going to go away, and unfortunately does have a slight racial tinge to it because of the fact that these forgeries are being accused of happening within the Arab sector particularly. But of course, a blue and white Kahor Lavan leader, Benny Gantz, actually asked Hanan Meltzer not to meet with Netanyahu, saying that he felt this would interfere with the elections. And so this is kind of what we're seeing going on. Also yesterday, the ultra-Orthodox parties had their show of force. They had, I think, something like 150,000 people attend a rally, including all the leading rabbinical figures from the United Torah Judaism Party. And, of course, the grand rebbe of the Gur Hasidic community, the Admor Migur, was also in attendance along with various members of parliament from the United Torah Judaism Party, and of course the councils of Torah sages of the various communities, to try to encourage the Haredim to come out and vote. One of the things that we're really expecting tomorrow is low turnout. And this, the Likud have decided, is one of their biggest enemies, and they're very much encouraging people to turn up. A lot of people are still on holiday. It's been worked out that a very high percentage of people are still not quite back from their holidays. A lot of people are still away during the summertime. So the date hasn't been considered to be particularly good, of course, with Rosh Hashanah coming up very, very soon as well. There is a feeling that a lot of people who might have turned up to vote won't vote. And a lot of people who are here to vote couldn't be bothered to vote because it's just kind of, you know, it's just too much. I think people are just overcooked with all of this election stuff. But certainly within the Haredi community, they've been encouraging people to vote. And a lot of people who attended that rally yesterday were told to attend by the rabbis at their various yeshivot and things like that. Also, the reports I have suggested. And of course, the way that the ultra-Orthodox voters are encouraged to vote is by being told that if they don't vote, then effectively the alternatives would come down and fetch, and create some sort of a threat to the ultra-Orthodox way of life, to their wish to observe mitzvot, to their way of conducting their lives. And if they don't come out and vote, then they should expect that the ultra-Orthodox community will effectively come under attack and will come under threat. And so this is B'Shem Shamayim, this is in the name of heaven, that they should come out and vote. Otherwise, you know, this is kind of the way that influence works within the ultra-Orthodox community. So one can expect that they will probably come out and vote in the usual sort of numbers that we've seen in the past. But, you know, ultimately this is all about, you know, last minute things. Ayelet Shaked and Prime Minister Netanyahu are really not getting along very well in the press. They're at each other all the time. Ironically, Ayelet Shaked's partner in the Yamina party, Naftali Bennett, has been trying somehow to create a bridge, been encouraging people to support Netanyahu. Yamina has already said that they would be recommending Prime Minister Netanyahu to be the next Prime Minister if they are asked after the elections, if they have seats in the parliament, and they would be then invited to go to the presidential home to recommend who they would wish to see as the upcoming Prime Minister. What I think is very, very fascinating is the position that Avigdor Lieberman holds in this election. He, whereas before he's very much been a Prime Minister Netanyahu supporter, he's come out very strongly saying that he's not going to recommend Prime Minister Netanyahu this time around and that he would prefer to recommend Benny Gantz. But he's gone a step further and he's said, look, he represents a party who wants to see a coalition formed between Likud and Kahol Lavan. And a lot of people have decided that they're going to vote for Lieberman because of this fact, because this seems to be the only way in which a government can really be formed after this election. The expectation at the moment following tomorrow's election is that we will kind of more or less be in the same position as we are today. We don't expect that there are going to be any major shifts one way or the other in terms of the way that the seats are distributed. It's still expected that Kahol Lavan and Likud will be much of a matchness in terms of the number of seats that each of them wins, probably within one or two seats of each other. You know, it's not clear who will have more and who will not have more, but it's not really that significant. But Lieberman is saying very strongly that the only way that this country can go forward now is to have what is effectively a national unity government, where Kahol Lavan and Likud come together and form a national unity government. And he's going even a step further, and he's saying he would like to see a secular government. That's the way he's turning it. He wants to see a national unity secular government where effectively, especially the ultra-Orthodox parties, are left out of the coalition. And the reason that he's representing that is because there is a feeling, a very strong feeling amongst many people in this country, that the ultra-Orthodox community and the ultra-Orthodox parties managed to extract far more value from their representation in the Knesset than the number of seats that they hold, because they effectively are the kingmakers and they can demand many things which the other larger parties don't have, because without the small parties, of course, there is no government. And so Lieberman is trying to remove somehow this influence and the strength negotiating position that the ultra-Orthodox parties have, and is suggesting that the way to move forward is for a secular government to be formed between Kahol Lavan and between Likud, and that he would be happy to join a government like that. It's going to be interesting to see exactly how things pan out on that basis.
Yeah, it's what's interesting as well to me is one definitely gets the sense that the Haredi parties for the first time are a little bit more nervous about their role in a future government. It's always kind of been assumed that they were the kingmakers in a certain way, but now I'm getting the feeling that that assumption, because of some of the statements made, that assumption obviously isn't one that they can make, and therefore are becoming more active in this election. What's your thoughts on that?
I do agree with that, Howard, because I think that you know, everybody who thinks about things with regard to the election can foresee more or less the same result than we had in the last election. So the question is, what's going to be different this time around? Why is this going to be better than the last time around? And the only thing that can be different is the way that people respond to the given situation. And so the attempts to form a government with the ultra-Orthodox parties failed last time around. Avigdor Lieberman has made it clear that he will not sit with the ultra-Orthodox parties. And if that is the case, then I don't see a government being formed unless Kahol Lavan and Likud come together. This was always my contention, and I still stand by that position right now. So if Kahol Lavan and Likud are forced to come together in order to form a government, then I could easily see the ultra-Orthodox parties being left out of the government. And that, of course, for them would be quite disastrous, because, you know, they've always had a position of strength from within the government rather than being left out. And there was one government where they were left out of not so long ago, and their influence really significantly deteriorated, was reduced substantially. And in fact, the moment the government changed and the ultra-Orthodox parties were reintroduced to the government, a whole wave of laws that were passed, especially by Yair Lapid at the time, were reversed by those ultra-Orthodox parties, because those laws were seen to be kind of leveling the playing field out. And as soon as the ultra-Orthodox parties were reintroduced to the government, they reenacted those in order to regain their particular advantage. But once again, I agree with you. I think I could easily see them being left out. There was an interesting analysis that I read recently which said that there are many special interest groups in Israel who have representation. The ultra-Orthodox, for example, have their own representation. The Arabs have their own Arab parties as representation. The only people who don't have a special interest group to represent them are kind of middle to right-wing secular Israelis. And the reason for that is because the logical sort of labor or Likud parties that they would normally vote for ultimately get influenced by the smaller special interest parties when the government is formed, such that the middle ground secular Israeli doesn't really have his own interests represented. And of course, Avigdor Lieberman has represented them to some degree, even though his constituency is mostly the immigrants from the former Soviet Union, whose special interests he has been fighting very, very strongly indeed. But I see him now representing more of that middle ground secular Israeli by saying he would like to see a secular government formed. And I think he's going to get a lot of support from that point of view.
Absolutely fascinating to see how this is going to be playing out over the next few days. It's about to go 8 o'clock, but Anthony, when do we start? Israel goes to the polls tomorrow morning. When do we think we will start to get some results in?
Well, I think the results will begin already late tomorrow night. We'll start to get a feeling of some of the counts, but really we'll get a good idea Wednesday morning. By the time we speak on Wednesday morning, I expect that we will already have a good feel for the direction in which things are going. It will only take about a week until all the final results are out, because of course we've got these double envelope votes as well that take a little bit longer to count. But I'm expecting that by Wednesday morning, when you and I talk again, of course we will talk tomorrow, but by the time we talk on Wednesday, we'll have a good idea of how things are going.
All right. Let's hope we do. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Narak, thank you as always for your incredible insight and knowledge. It is 8:01. Here's your news with Lindiwe.